Today, we're going to get real with the topic of the mental load of motherhood. I know how hard the struggle is when it comes to juggling everything, and particularly the invisible work that often gets overlooked for tangible acts like cooking and cleaning and driving children to practices to and from daycare. But as someone once said, it's the mental gymnastics that are happening behind the scenes that are required for everything to get done and are often overlooked, yet most certainly cause frustration, stress, burnout, and overwhelm. And not surprisingly, there's a lesson from leadership that will help us to establish footing in this area that we're going to walk through today. So if you're ready to combat the mental load of motherhood, especially as a working mom, you are in the right place. Let's go ahead and dive on in. Hey there. Welcome to Working Mom Moments. Do you find yourself craving work-life balance and wishing you had more time in your day? Do you find yourself up late at night Googling how to get it all done, how to increase energy, or even searching for flexible jobs? Hey there, I'm Lacey. I too am a working mom that has struggled with the juggling act of getting it all done. I wanted more energy, less stress, and honestly, a little time to do something for myself. But I kept telling myself, well, this is just the way of life for working moms, and I had to power through until I found a little secret. I needed to get unstuck in order to create a life I truly enjoyed at home and at work. In this podcast, you'll find that secret too. You'll find time-saving solutions, motivation for the hard days, and a roadmap to mindset transformation. If you're ready to thrive as a working mom, you're in the right place. Block off this time on your calendar as a meeting with yourself, and let's dig in. Hey, y'all. Do you want to come hang out with a group of working moms who get what it's like to juggle career and motherhood? Inside the free Working Mom Moments Facebook group, you'll get support, encouragement, time-saving solutions, motivation for the hard days, and really strategies to help with the mental load of being a working mom. Simply head over to facebook.com/groups/workingmommoments. Also, I would love for you to become an insider and get regular emails from me, including the latest blogs and podcast episodes so you don't miss a thing, and tips and perspectives to help you find better balance and more joy as a working mom. Simply head over to laceyjungman.com/insider. I'll see you there. If you're not familiar with the term, the mental load of motherhood, let me explain this for you so you have a good grasp on it. And I highly imagine that most of you listening today already feel this, but you may not have had a frame of reference or vernacular to be able to explain how you feel. For others, it's a very common phrase that you might hear, even you repeat to other people, including your spouse or your own children, or to yourself as you're trying to wade through the challenges of being a working mom. But for all mothers, there is this invisible and often overwhelming cognitive and emotional burden that moms, all moms, carry in managing and coordinating various aspects of family life and childcare. Really, it encompasses quite a wide range of responsibilities and tasks that might not readily be visible or explicit, but really are critical for making sure everything functions smoothly within the family. So never mind all the tasks that you have to do at work, all the tasks you have to get done at home, there is still almost this, I don't want to say cloud, but this sense of never feeling like it's over or you can check something off of your list because there is this invisible cloud of things that still need to happen that somewhat hang over your head. And so this mental load encompasses the activities like planning, organizing, scheduling, making decisions, emotional labor related to childcare, right? The emotional well-being of our own children, household management, duties that have to happen, and all the thoughts that go inside and contribute to a successful, functioning home. That mental load often involves anticipating and addressing the needs and concerns of family members and our children, our spouses, as well as the physical and emotional demands of the family. So when we think about the mental load, it can be particularly challenging as it really does often lead to this feeling of stress, overwhelm, this constant feeling of being almost on call all of the time, not only at work, because we have so much to do. And if you're a leader, whether it's in your title or you simply act as a leader where others in your team look up to you either for advice or to get things done, there's a lot of being on call at work and showing up and being present, but a lot of that at home as well. And so even when, as a mom, you're not engaged in physical tasks, I would venture to guess that most women who are listening to this podcast right now are feeling some weight of motherhood right now. Meaning, maybe you're thinking, how am I going to get everybody to their practices on Saturday or their games, because there's five of them and they're all happening simultaneously across the different states that are near neighboring the one you live in. It's a lot. And honestly, sometimes that mental load of motherhood can become paralyzing, because if you're anything like me, you may be an overthinker. An overthinker, right? Sometimes a situation happens and whenever the situation concludes or the episode is done, we lay our head down at night and we can't fall asleep because we're overthinking, right? We're thinking about the next things that we have to do, or we're thinking about that situation. What did they mean when they said this? How could I have done things differently? And so as we are overthinking and we have this cloud or this constant mental overload of motherhood, the two of those combined can really contribute to higher levels of stress, feelings of exhaustion, not good enough, and like you're never getting ahead. And so overthinking and overanalyzing can also play a role in that mental load of motherhood by amplifying it and contributing to both that emotional and cognitive burden that mothers often carry. And I don't mean burdens in a negative concept, right? Our children are not burdens. Our family is not a burden. Our work is not a burden. Truly defined, these are things that we carry, that we must do, things that are on our shoulders because of the responsibility that we've chosen to take on. And so when I say the cognitive or emotional burden, that's not a negative thing. It's simply tasks that we still must complete, whether that is emotionally or physically. And so as we peel back the layers of that mental overload that we feel as mothers, it kind of falls into a variety of different buckets. But that first and foremost being decision-making and planning. As moms, we often find ourselves overthinking decisions related to our children's upbringing. If you have never questioned where they go to daycare, if you have never questioned what school you're going to send them to, or the food in which you feed them, or their education, their health, their extracurricular activities, I would love for you to email me at info@laceyjungman.com, because you might be the first mother that I've met that hasn't questioned, done research, or wondered if they're doing the right thing. And so the mental load of motherhood easily transitions into overthinking if we're not careful by this decision-making, the planning. And we can often get caught in this analysis paralysis because there's so many different things that we should be doing. I say should in air quotes, that we think we should be doing. And so we overanalyze these school choices or daycare choices, curriculum decisions, and healthcare options. And that's just a few. So decision-making, planning absolutely plays a role into overthinking. The emotional labor of our children as well, meaning how they feel, who is responsible for navigating and managing our children's feelings. Now, I don't mean responsible for teaching our children they have to feel this way or that way, but really anticipating and being able to respond to and pay attention to the clues that we are getting from our children, with, especially as they get older. Are they distressed? Are they frustrated? Are they withdrawing? Are they becoming more inward? Are they acting up and becoming more aggressive, right? This emotional labor isn't just the action or the act that our child is taking. It's really managing our children's emotions and teaching them conflict resolution, teaching them how they feel when they say, I don't know why I'm angry. That emotional labor often falls on us, and we, because we are carrying this emotional or mental overload as mothers, are anticipating these changes to their emotions. We're aware of them. We're paying attention to them. So it's not just a task. It is something that often will loom in our heads, right? To make sure that we are considering how every action, every word is impacting our children's emotional needs and how we are helping them to navigate through that. Because they are learning a lot as they grow, and it is our responsibility to make sure that they understand how they're feeling and to be able to articulate that, right? So not only decision-making and planning of our children and how they're being brought up into the world, but really helping them with that emotional labor as well, understanding how they feel so they can communicate that. And then you think about the information overload that we are in this state of the world today, right? The digital age has really transformed everything. Back, what, 30 years ago, mothers might look at the newspaper. They might look at a magazine if they had that. They may look to their friends, but never did they have so much information readily accessible at their fingertips as we do today. And with the abundance of information also comes information overload. Analyzing our parenting decisions, the advice that comes in to us through social media channels, whether we're asking for it or not, and the different strategies other mothers are using causes us to not only overthink, but then that overload, the mental overload of motherhood becomes heavier because now we are seeing all these other options in the world and we're questioning, are we doing the right thing for our children, for our family, for ourselves? Is this food that I'm giving my child going to cause cancer? Am I doing enough to help my children emotionally receive rejection and be a good sport when they lose at their game? Am I setting them up to be a good winner? How do they express their feelings when they're happy, sad, mad, right? All of these things often fall on us as mothers and can lead to increased worry, fear, doubt, questions about our children's own well-being, which is really a significant aspect of the mental load. And so I want to pause here as we've kind of painted what the picture is of the mental load of motherhood, really those invisible chores or tasks that have to be handled that aren't visibly seen, right? We see when dishes are done. We see when children get taken to their activities or to daycare and from, but it's all the things that we're not seeing that really weigh on us as mothers. Yes, I can have help taking my child to and from a sports activity, but in my head, I'm thinking he needs to start getting ready at this time. He needs to make sure that he has these uniform items and they're clean and his cleats are ready to go and that he has a mouth guard and he has a helmet and all of the different things that they're going to need for that practice. So I'm going to stop with painting the picture because I think you have a pretty good grasp on what the mental overload of motherhood looks like. And I want to reference a story from 1974. And I know you think that is so long ago, but it's actually a story you probably have heard through some of your leadership courses. Or if you haven't heard it, sit back and relax, unless you're driving, of course, pay attention to the road. And I'll paint a quick little summary of a picture of what this story is about. So back in 1974, Harvard Business Review had an article titled Management Time, Who's Got the Monkey? You may have even heard, I'm putting the monkey on my shoulder or I'm giving the monkey back to this other person. This is where that statement or that concept originated back in 1974 by William Onken Jr. and Donald Woss in this article from Harvard Business Review. And the story ultimately illustrates the idea of team members or associates who often tend to transfer their problems or tasks or to-do lists to their supervisors, managers, or teams. And it ultimately creates unnecessary burdens for the manager, the supervisor, and hinders the entire productivity of not only that person, but you can see how that could cascade into the entire team as well. And so in this story, an associate approaches their manager with a problem or task, metaphorically representing, as they call it, a monkey on their back. So the manager initially may agree to help and take on the problem, but what this story tells us is that this can lead to a situation where managers accumulate too many monkeys or responsibilities from their team members, leaving them overwhelmed and unable to work or focus on their own tasks. So if you look this up later, again, it's called Management Time, Who's Got the Monkey? Harvard Business Review back in 1974. The key lesson of this story is that effective leadership, so we're talking about in the workplace here, effective leadership involves ensuring that team members, associates, take ownership of their own problems and don't keep transferring them to their other team members or their supervisors. Managers are really taught through this lesson that they should guide and coach their team members in problem solving, but avoid taking on the associate's responsibilities, because this approach then allows associates to develop their own skills and leadership and initiative and problem-solving skills while that supervisor and that leader can focus on their own critical tasks. So in summary, monkey management, this story highlights the importance of delegating responsibility, not allowing team members to transfer their problems or tasks to their managers. It really emphasizes the need for leaders to empower their team members to take ownership of their work and solve problems independently. And so we think, okay, we're talking about the mental load of motherhood. I gave a soapbox speech on what that is and referenced a lot of different examples. And now I'm talking about a monkey on a back for leadership. What do those two have in common? And some of you are getting there already, but I will say the concept of putting the monkey back on their shoulders can absolutely be related to the mental load of motherhood in the context of how mothers end up shouldering so much, especially the disproportionate share of the family's emotional logistical burdens. I'm telling you, this concept can truly shed light on the dynamics of managing our family's responsibilities and the need for a more fair distribution of the mental load within a household. And there's a few ways in which we can do that. So if we look at the comparison of this monkey on my back and placing it appropriately where it needs to go, that is 100% delegation and ownership. So in the context of motherhood, right, there's a lot that we have to do. We can't give everything to anybody else, right? If you have a nanny, maybe they can pick up some of the slack. If you have family in town that is extremely supportive, maybe they can help with some areas. But oftentimes when I talk with working moms, it is them and their spouse, if they're married, of course, and their children. And so in the context of motherhoods, mothers are often finding themselves taking on all of these various responsibilities for their kids in the house. And it could be everything from meal planning and grocery shopping and schedules to remembering important dates and managing childcare. So if we think about delegation and ownership in context of not only the monkey and leadership, but also in our own homes, is there a way that we can relate delegation, encouraging our partners and our children or other family members, participants who are active in our family lives, to take ownership of some of these responsibilities? You've heard me talk about if my children want to bring cold lunch, they make their own lunch. I will absolutely buy the ingredients, but they have to tell me what they want. Otherwise, they're going to eat the hot lunch that the school provides because that is what our family chooses to do. So I delegate and I assign ownership of the grocery list for their lunches if they want that, and they can write it out. They can draw me a picture if they were little, or we can sit and talk about it. But at the same time, I need my kids to step up and own some things because I can't carry that mental load of what they're going to eat for lunch each and every day. I know they're getting a meal at school. If they want something different, I am 100% on board with that, but I need to know from them. I cannot take ownership of that all the time. And the same thing is true for our laundry. Whew, my 11-year-old and my 13-year-old both can do their own laundry. My 9-year-old's getting close, but we are in the midst of this transition of growing independence. And so I bought each of those older boys a laundry basket and they put their own clothes in there and they have to wash it. For the little boys, I wash their clothes, but they have to put it away. And so I can't do everything. I can do some things, but I am not about to get stressed out over laundry. It has happened and it does still happen from time to time because I want things put away, but they don't have to do it exactly the way that I would do it. So delegation, ownership, what can we assign out within our family members to make your life a little bit easier? Think about that delegation as well from the context of what can you hire out? I have friends that have a house manager and that person maintains their house. So if someone from the furnace company needs to come out and check on the furnace or the air conditioner, that person that is the house manager manages calling the heating and air company to schedule the appointment, is at the house when they show up. Now, that is not a luxury that we employ at our house, but that is a pretty cool opportunity to dismantle some of the mental load that you may be carrying right now. Or hiring out somebody to do the laundry, somebody to even pick up after the kids go to school and you go to work. I don't mean clean, like dusting and vacuuming. I mean, pick up, put things back where they belong. I have another friend who hires a teenager. After she gets out of school, she comes over to their house and she picks up all of the things so that when mom comes home, she has somewhat of a clean house. Now, she's not cleaning and dusting, but she is picking up things, putting things back, organizing the home in essence to help her carry that mental load. It's one more person. What that comes down to also is effective communication. So that is critical in our leadership as well as at home. So if we think about the monkey on our back, we have to use the principles of effective delegation and problem solving to communicate what our needs are and expectations so that our kids, our partners, if it's a home manager, our house manager, everybody's on the same page, collaborating towards the same common goal, and everyone knows what their role is in order to get that done. I encourage you to look for ways in which you can take the monkey off of your shoulders and put it back on someone else. In fact, one of the areas that has been a really big load for me as a working mom is juggling all of the schedules. So as everybody's going in different directions, and I know when work is finished, I am like in the car constantly shuffling people to and fro and back and forth. I cannot be responsible for making sure they have all of their stuff with them. And this started at a very young age, mind you. Now, the way we communicated that has changed over time as they've gotten older, but there was a checklist that I would tape to the back of the door for certain activities or sports, and they had to go through and make sure they had all of their items. At first, the kids were so young that I had pictures drawn out. But to have so many kids and running in so many different directions, we had to make sure everybody was contributing to getting ready for where we needed to go. And so I really have learned to empower the kids through list making, through preparing for them and identifying ways that they can become empowered to be ready on their own. One quick example of that is we bought this skylight calendar frame. And in fact, if you want the link, I'll put it in the episode description here so you can click on that if you'd like. But we bought this skylight calendar frame. So one, yes, it's pictures that I can upload and the kids like seeing it. And it's on a really big frame that sits inside of our kitchen. But what it is also is a triple function for me. One, they can see themselves. Kids love to see that they're, you know, pictures of themselves as part of the family. But then two, I list in their chores. So from my phone, I can shoot over chore list and assign it to kids that are recurring. So I know that every other day, the younger two are in charge of unloading the dishwasher. The older two are in charge of loading the dishwasher. And as we cycle through, I have toilets need to be cleaned, or I have, you know, living room needs to be picked up or doing laundry. And so that is easy for me. If I have a 2-minute break, or if I am, you know, getting ready to lay my head down at night, making sure that the chores are uploaded and I don't ever have to touch that again because they're on recurring cycles and everybody checks that frame to see what they're responsible for that day. Likewise, I have their calendar all uploaded into this frame as well. And I'm telling you, if you already have a digital calendar, this is the way to go. My husband and I operate exclusively on digital calendars. So through whether it's Gmail or Outlook or however you use your digital calendar, all you have to do is add another email, which is your Skylight calendar, and it will upload and tell you who the task or the scheduled activity is for. And so the kids check that every single morning, not only their chores, but also they want to see what sports do they have every single night, who's doing what time do we need to be there? And they can begin preparing for their afternoon, even as early in the morning. And it's really helped us with communication because I used to fill out a calendar, right? And that was more work for me, because I had to not only have a digital calendar, but then I had a printed calendar so that they could see it because they didn't have access to a digital calendar. But now they do. And so I no longer have to do double work. I just send an invite to the calendar because I'm already sending one to my husband. So when I say take a monkey off of your back, look for ways like that where you can maximize your time, but also put back on the shoulders of very capable people who are living with you. If you have babies, toddlers, they're not as capable. I know that. But even as young as toddlers, we can start instilling ways for them to contribute and participate and owning tasks so that you can begin to reduce some of that mental load of motherhood. I hope this episode has helped you, and I'd love for you to come and join and share your favorite working mom tip in my free community where we discuss mindset, motivation, time-saving strategies, and so much more. I'll meet you over at Facebook.com/groups/workingmommoments. And be sure to sign up for my insider email at lacyjungman.com/insider. I'll see you there. Hey, y'all. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 quick seconds and share it with a friend who may need to hear this message as a working mom? Also, please leave a quick review for the show on Apple Podcasts. It lights me up when I hear from listeners to know that this podcast is helping you. Okay, time to cross a few more things off my never-ending to-do list. I know you can relate. So I'll meet you back here on Tuesday for another episode. Until our next Working Mom moment, have a beautiful day.